Welcome back to the Graham Stephan Show. My name is Graham, and welcome to my show. And today we're going to be talking with Nicholas, who dropped out of college at 18 to start a social media marketing agency, ended up selling that company for just under seven figures. We can say under $1 million. Wants to know what to do with his money. He's also going to be sharing some of the story about how he got started doing that in the first place and everything that led up to that success. So anyway, let's bring him on and see what this is all about. So Nicholas, welcome to the Graham Stephan Show. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Graham? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in. What's going on? What's up?
Basically, I started in internet marketing about 4 years ago, and just been progressing through that, and have been able to successfully exit a company, and just kind of looking for my next step as far as real estate investing goes. You know, I know that's kind of the play that I want to do. Long-term, and thrilled to be talking with you on it.
Definitely. Now, really quick, because I'm sure everyone wants to know, so what exactly is it that you do? How did you get involved in that? If you wouldn't mind, just like give us like 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes of a backstory here.
Yeah, for sure. So here's the short story. Basically, when I was 15, I got started flipping different items on eBay. So I'd go to these estate sales, and I would go and buy antiques or bike seats or jackets or anything I could get my hands on, then I would sell those items on eBay. And that kind of transitioned into me selling Jordan sneakers online as well, buying them in Facebook groups and then flipping those online. So then that's kind of where I got my fascination for selling things online, period. And I was just about to go to college at the time, and I didn't really want to go to college. I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but really wasn't sure the first step I wanted to take. But that was right about the time when I started getting hit with all these different ads for internet marketing programs, ebooks, et cetera. And I really just was interested on how these people were targeting me. You know, how did they know I was interested in internet marketing or thinking about it? And so I just started diving in and, you know, buying every educational ebook I could find. I didn't have a ton of money at the time, but I just became immersed in learning internet marketing. So I did go to 1 year of college, and throughout that year, I taught myself, you know, how to run Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Google AdWords, build simple landing pages, kind of just the whole digital marketing mix. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was just reading a ton of, you know, self-help, financial education, et cetera, often skipping class to read books on my own instead and mess around with different tools and things online trying to get something going. So I tried everything from foreign exchange trading. I tried setting up an e-com store. I tried Kindle ebook publishing. And I quickly learned that when you try that many things at once, you don't make money with any of them because there's no focus there. So the one cool thing about it was I was building a skill set to be able to provide the services to other businesses that I didn't fully realize at the time. But long story short, I dropped out of college and got a sales job making cold calls, and absolutely hated that job. So at nighttime, I was working on building an agency out, and I started off with local businesses and then kind of found my sweet spot providing digital marketing services to coaches and consultants online, as well as e-commerce stores. And that's kind of really where I made a name for myself in that niche. And then as of this past January, I was able to sell my first agency. And now I'm president and co-owner of Margle Media, and we are a content creation and paid media firm out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we create all the social content for some brands you might know, like Yahoo, Petco, some other e-commerce brands that might be in your newsfeed. But that's the last four years.
That's amazing, man. So two questions. My first question was, we're talking Ty Lopez here, because it seems like social media marketing. The first thing I think of is Ty Lopez.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, Ty is one of the people that I looked up to in the very beginning. And funny enough, I'm actually an instructor in his programs for Facebook advertising. So,
oh, no way.
So that's kind of how it all comes full circle. I went from learning from him in the beginning to, you know, actually being an instructor. So that was kind of a cool transition for me. But
That's awesome. And then my second question is, I don't know if you could say this. I'm curious, how much did you sell the company for? I'm just going to go out and ask. Like, can you give us a ballpark here? Like, how much did these sell for?
We'll just say under a million, but somewhere between half a million to a million, we'll say that.
Wow. And this is just owned by you then, right? Do you have any partners in this?
Correct.
Wow.
That was just me. Now I have business partners and we're venture funded, but no.
That is amazing to spend 4 years on a company like that and then sell it for, you know, under seven figures. But still, that's insane. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting journey for me because when you start something, you don't really expect that you're going to be selling it. I didn't really think that was going to be a thing for that type of business, but it turned out that it was, and I couldn't be happier. So,
how about this? Why did you sell it? Because I'm always thinking, like, if you're selling it, doesn't that mean that maybe you don't believe in it long term, or maybe it's just it's you want to hand it off to someone else, or what's the reason for selling?
I felt I had a great niche with coaches and consultants and e-com stores, mm-hmm. but one of the things I didn't have was the big names. And if I was going to grow an agency, I knew that I wanted to really level up the caliber of clientele I was working with. And to do that, actually the people who acquired me, that firm, I actually did buy equity in, which is how I became an owner at where I'm at now. But, you know, they already had some of those bigger names. So I really wanted to see how what I was doing for these smaller companies, once you put significantly more dollars behind them and some larger corporate budgets, what you can really do. So it was kind of just seemed like the next logical step in the progression of growth for me. And I still fully believe in everything I was providing. So it wasn't necessarily like a runway thing. Like, do I still think it's going to be around? It's just I wanted to do it at a higher level.
Makes sense. That's a very good answer. Was not expecting that answer, but yeah, I totally see it. So what's the question then? What can I help with?
Yeah, totally. So I mean, now for where I'm at, I've always been interested in multifamily real estate. You know, I've been researching, reading over the last couple of years, and you know, just looking at some deals online, looking at a few properties. But I watched your video, which I thought was a great bit on your investing strategy versus Cardone's investing strategy. And, you know, I'm running a company full time now, and that takes, you know, essentially all of my time to do. So I'm wondering, you know, obviously with larger scale, it's easier to have managers and build that in and still have good cash flow. But, you know, if you were in my position, would you go for a larger unit size, or would you, you know, kind of use your strategy in this case?
I think both can be good, it also depends how much money you have. Like here in Los Angeles, if you want a good multifamily building, like a good one, it usually costs you about $4 million. And that's the entry level for a good multifamily 8-plus unit building in a good area. It's about $4 million. So the barrier to entry of that is really high. So for me, my entire strategy, because I didn't have like, you know, $1.5 million to put down on something like that, was just going single family or like 2 to 4 units. And the barrier to entry of that was a few hundred grand versus, you know, almost, you know, $2 million. So I think, first of all, it depends on how much money you have and what properties you're selling for in your area. I don't think there's a right and a wrong option. I think you could make just as much money with just as much time investment going for, I don't know, a really nice house that you could rent out than you could going with, you know, a 10-unit building. If you have a lot of money to put down, chances are more units would just be easier for you, because instead of going and buying, you know, $300,000 houses, you could use the $1 million and go and put that down on, like, you know, 10 units, 12 units. It's just going to be simpler for you. But I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. How much money are you thinking about plunking down here?
Probably I would say like $250,000. Also, I don't want to have like all my eggs in one basket, essentially. So I feel like that's a fair amount of money I'd be willing to part with, you know.
So $250,000, usually with apartment buildings and multifamily buildings like this, they're going to want you to put about 30 to 35% down. We'll talk to a lender about that one and find out for your specific situation. So that really, you're really looking at about $750,000. So in your area, can you get a good multifamily building that makes, you know, 6%, 7% plus a year for that price of $750,000?
Yeah, in Milwaukee, yes. Now, that's another question, too, is I don't really know if I want to be investing here in Milwaukee. You know, that's another question. It's just a question of, all right, managing a property out of state, you know, what are the complexities that come with that? for a first rental property, is that something you'd recommend, or is it better to be really, have it close to the chest in the beginning? All of those things to play into it.
That's another really good question. You can absolutely buy a property out of state, but you really got to be so careful about the people you trust in terms of getting to know the location and figuring out where to invest and the team you have behind it. I've always invested where I live just because I can see the area and I know the changes happening and I think I could kind of predict what I think is going to be happening with the market in terms of which areas are going to be seeing appreciation. And it's just been easy for me to manage something that's really close by. I've always been hesitant about investing out of state. You can absolutely do it, but you really got to make sure you got the right team in place. I don't know the market in Milwaukee, and I don't know if that is a really good market or if that's something that you can invest in or how the cash flow is. I think I would really be doing the research to the point where you wouldn't have to ask me, if that makes sense, that you already know, like you're so confident on the area that that's how it should be. If you're investing out of state, you should already know so much and feel so confident about it that you won't even have to ask.
Sure. No, that makes good sense. Okay. And then one other question I have to you. I mean, I've been renting for several years now, and I've, thought about, all right, should I buy a home? I'm thinking about, though, like, with investing in real estate, obviously there's an opportunity cost to buying a home with that down payment versus putting it into multifamily. But I am planning on moving out of Milwaukee in the next couple of years. So, does it make sense to keep renting for the couple of years, or would you recommend buying something? I know usually buying will always cost more in the short term, but, just curious, given my situation, what your thoughts are.
The only way I think it would make sense if you buy something is, first of all, if you get such a good deal on it when you buy that even if the market ends up just like breaking even or going down in price, that you could still make money, then it'll make sense for you to buy something. It also makes sense you could buy something if when you leave, you could turn it into a rental property and it's going to make a great cash flowing rental. Besides that, if you're just planning to live there a few more years, it probably doesn't make sense for you to buy anything right now. It sounds like, unless you get a unicorn of a deal, it makes sense for you just to continue renting for the next few years and then not buy something. Because I'm worried if you go and buy something a few years from now, let's just say the market goes down a few percent, or let's even say it stays exactly the same, then you're going to be out of pocket for, closing costs and commissions and everything else that goes along with home ownership. And I'm worried it's going to cost you more money to buy something over a few years than you would just pay renting. Cool. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate the call. Keep me posted on everything. And yeah, talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks. Bye. So with that said, you guys, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. As always, if you've not already hit the like button, do that for the YouTube algorithm, then subscribe and hit the notification bell. Also, feel free to add me on Instagram. I post it pretty much daily, so if you want to be a part of it there, feel free to add me there. Finally, we have a Discord link in the description if you guys want to join that. We got about 5,000 members, and it's an amazing community, so if you guys wouldn't mind adding yourself to that, feel free to do that, and then all the other links in the description. So anyway, thank you so much for watching, and until next time.